On this Pentecost Sunday, the birthday of the church, I am reminded of how I finally decided to become a Presbyterian. You understand I was not born a Presbyterian, but I got here as fast as I could. And it was all because of a surprise birthday party some 50 years ago. Dear friends of mine at Austin Presbyterian Seminary arranged a surprise birthday party for me. Their gift was completely unexpected, an evening full of happiness and good cheer. And looking around the room, it dawned on me that every one of these beloved friends were Presbyterians. And I thought to myself, this is fun. This is where I belong. And maybe it was not exactly the Messianic banquet, but it was grand enough to make me a Presbyterian. So I love birthday parties and surprises and unexpected tokens of love and affection. And I love Pentecost, the birthday of the church, when we deck ourselves out in red and yellow and orange and give thanks to God for this amazing surprise, which is our new life in Christ. Pentecost reminds us that all we have and all that we are is finally a gift. A gift freely given from the hands of God, and an act of generous, self-giving love. Pentecost reminds us all that we live by grace alone. Nothing earned, nothing deserved. It's like a surprise birthday party. Unexpected, but deeply appreciated. That night at the party, I told everyone there how much I appreciated what they had done for me. And likewise, Pentecost, this wonderful birthday party for the church, is something to celebrate, something to be thankful for, to be grateful for this outpouring of God's love in Christ. Like 40 years of love and grace given to this congregation so freely, we are reminded, brothers and sisters, on Pentecost, that all is gift and all is grace. The prophet Joel, long ago, could only envision what came true that amazing day in Jerusalem. He longed for a day when God would pour out the Spirit upon all people. Sons and daughters would prophesy and see visions and dream dreams, even old men like me. And everyone who calls upon the name of the Lord would be saved. Joel could only imagine what actually happened in Jerusalem. Pilgrims from all over the world, from Asia to Libya, flocked to the city of David, and Peter proclaimed the good news that the crucified Jesus was indeed risen. And then the Spirit gathered strangers into this new international community of love. People of different languages understood Peter's sermon, and they received the gift of the Holy Spirit. Tongues of fire and wind blew across those assembled and formed them into a church. God invited the whole world to receive this greatest gift of all, the gift of the risen Christ. What a surprise party it was in Jerusalem. Now, perhaps some of us feel a bit uncomfortable around Pentecost Sunday, not so much because of its association with speaking in tongues and emotions and all that, but because of this. We are not very good at receiving gifts. It's deeply ingrained in all of us that it is more blessed to give than to receive. We would rather see ourselves as the givers, those self-sufficient folks who are not beholden to anyone. In a curious way, Pentecost challenges the illusion that we have engineered our own success. Pentecost makes a very different counterclaim. It is also blessed to receive. It reveals that who we are and what we are is entirely a gift from God. The Spirit is God's free gift to you, nothing that you could have worked for. One of my favorite verses in the New Testament says it so well. By grace you have been saved, not by works, lest anyone should boast. So deeply ingrained in our society's self-understanding is that somehow we can raise ourselves up by our own bootstraps. I used to believe that. That is until I read John Steinbeck's Grapes of Wrath in high school. It's the poignant story of the Jode family leaving the Dust Bowl of Oklahoma for California, sort of out of the frying pan into the fire. This Great Depression tale profoundly impacted my way of thinking. I came to see that not all people have access to reliable bootstraps. Some don't even have access to boots. So they start out way behind the eight ball. For some folks, it is incredibly hard to pull themselves up without help. The odds are stacked against the Jode family and every other impoverished family on this globe. Maybe that's why I find it curious that some people who were born on third base already think that they've hit a triple. That was a joke. And growing up with privilege sometimes binds us to our built-in advantages. Now, I grew up in a family where both my parents were college graduates and later would become professors. So it just was assumed that my siblings and I would go to college. And such a background makes it harder for us to see the challenges that the Jode family faced. And it makes it all too easy for us to be self-congratulatory about our successes and all too judgmental about those not so blessed. Now, Deborah Douglas is an Episcopalian writer who lives in Santa Fe with her husband, David, whom this congregation has known through Waterlinks. She wrote of a trip that she and David took to the West African nation of Senegal. In that teeming city of Dakar, they ducked into a poorly lit cafe for a drink. They were immediately surrounded by a group of beggars from the street. And a young boy with an angelic face approached their table riding on a little cart. It was clear he was paraplegic. He plucked at her sleeve insistently, and hesitantly, Deborah offered him one of those thick brown local coins from the currency, hoping that he would go away. But to Deborah's utter amazement, the young beggar shook his head. Then he pressed a coin into her hand, and smiling, he said in perfect French, "Un cadeau, madame, un cadeau." A gift, madam, a gift. And in the palm of Deborah's hand was a thin silver coin, a French franc. A beggar she had avoided had taken her hand and given her a gift. And this is what Deborah wrote about this thing, this visible sign of an invisible grace. "It reminded me that God once appeared to me incognito in the form of a crippled beggar. It reminds me that no matter how much in charge of benevolence I think I am, God is the great giver, the great lover." Deborah displays that coin in a very prominent place in her home in Santa Fe to this very day. I have seen it many times. It is also blessed to receive. And here's how Paul phrased it as a question. I want you to hear this question. What do you have that you have not received? And if you have received it, why do you boast as though it were not a gift? Have you ever seriously asked yourself that question? What do you have that is not a gift? Even if you worked hard to get it, were you not given your abilities your stamina, your drive, your opportunities, maybe most important, your connections, your breaks, all a gift. Even the pagan Greeks attributed to the Muses the gift of inspiration for all aesthetic creations. So even your closest friends, your beloved family, your vocation, your intelligence, your home, your belongings, your savings, what do you have that you did not receive? Most especially, your faith in Christ. Did you somehow generate that for yourself? I believe that my faith in Christ is sheer gift. Nothing that I earned or created for myself. It's all grace all the time. What do you have that you did not receive? And if you received it, why do you boast as though it were not a gift? So on this Pentecost Sunday, we remember that Peter's sermon, the Spirit gathered up 3,000 people to be baptized. These believers received the gift of the Holy Spirit, the gift of forgiveness, the gift of faith, the gift of new life in a new community. 3,000 strangers became sisters and brothers for whom Christ died, there in Jerusalem, and then they would scatter to the four winds. An international community of grace and reconciliation was formed that day. Grace upon grace. Thanks be to God. Now, this past week, I read your 25th anniversary history of your congregation. What an enjoyable read, which I commend to all of you. Maybe it's time for someone to step up and bring our history up to date, to chronicle the last 15 years. Does anyone hear a still small voice in your head saying, get me to work? I hope so. Now, what struck me about your history is how God seemed to go before you and gather people into this community of faith, what John Wesley famously called God's prevenient grace, going before us, starting with Kay and George Huggins. Just the right folks emerged to plant the seed that became our congregation, and 80 brave souls became charter members, and 6 of them are still with us now by the grace of God. I marvel at how God went before this congregation, first of all, finding places to gather. First in the home of Kay and George Huggins, then at Rosewood Funeral Home, then at Rio Rancho Inn, then the Italian American Association Hall, and then finally, by God's grace and the hard work of the founding members, to our present site and building. Oh my, what a journey with God. God's grace moved this community to serve people in this community and in the larger world, places along the border and in Mexico, both Cubas, the island and the town, Mora, the storehouse, and so many other people have been served through the goodness of this congregation. Then Share Your Care became a part of our mission. God's grace was especially evident in what your history calls, quote, an unexpected gift. Frank and Vivian Batura gave to this congregation a gift of $500,000, an act of amazing generosity. And that gift was used in so many ways to enhance your ministry. And finally, let's not forget your own generosity over the last 3 years that brought the capital campaign more than $450,000, which has been put to such good use in our congregation. And now, we hope by your continued generosity that the capital campaign can finally come to rest with the stucco project. May it be so. Now, I'm reminded, finally, of Kay Huggins' sermon at the 25th anniversary celebration. In her sermon on John 7, She talked about living waters becoming a beautiful river, renewing the world with God's great love. And within this river, deep and high and broad, one theme continues. We've come this far by grace. We've come this far by grace. And I would add, and grace will lead us home. So today, we celebrate the goodness and the grace of God. All that we have received, sisters and brothers, is it not a gift? And today we confess with gratitude, it is also blessed to receive. Thanks be to God for such amazing grace. To God alone be the glory. Amen.